Welcome back to True Crime Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick.
And this is episode 8 in the 12 Beers of Christmas. What are we doing tonight, Dick?
Tonight we're doing the Carnation Murders, which occurred on Christmas Eve in 2007.
This is a fascinating one.
It really is.
Yeah. Horrible. Kind of sickening. I had a hard time even learning about it, but it is fascinating.
It's fascinating and stomach-turning at the same time.
That's right. That's a good description. Well, before we turn our stomachs, let's turn to some 5-star reviews.
Okay. There's a couple quickies here, right?
Yes. So the first one is from Barbs890. Best podcast ever. This podcast is a pure pleasure to listen to. I recommend it to all of my friends. Jill and Dick are smart, fun, and kind. Thanks, guys. Well, you're too kind, Barbs890.
We'll save a seat at the quiet end for you, Barbs.
Yes, welcome to the brewery, Barbs. And the next one is Binge-Worthy by Cindy Lou Chu. This podcast is truly binge-worthy. I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts, and this one has quickly climbed to the top of my list. The Lacey Spears coverage was excellent. Well, thank you, Cindy Lou Chu, and welcome to the brewery.
Welcome.
A lot of people liked Lacey.
It seems to have been the case. I mean, that's by far our number one viewed.
Which is funny, because it's the most involved and lengthy one, which I thought might turn people off. But people
seem to
enjoy listening to that one.
I saw how long it took us to tape that, and I'm thinking, nobody's going to listen for 2 hours.
Right.
But
it was fascinating. A lot to it, you know, the whole history of her and everything. But I digress. What is our beer today?
Today's beer is a Texas beer, Shiner Holiday Cheer, which is from Spetzel Brewery in Shiner, Texas. So we're going to deviate a little bit from our winter warmer trend. Shiner Holiday Cheer is a Dunkelweizen. A Dunkel, which means dark in German, is just a darker version of a Hefeweizen.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They tend to be brown and murky, have an aroma of clove and banana, and very often taste like banana bread.
That sounds comforting.
Yeah.
I love banana bread.
That's a nice beer.
Yum.
So this one is a brown color with a small off-white head. It's got the banana and maybe some faint citrus aroma. And it's pretty malty, a lot of sweet malt. So again, the description of banana bread is quite apt in this case. Maybe a hint of some peach, maybe. It's a pretty smooth, easy drinking beer. So let's go pop a couple.
All righty. Okay, Dickie, you ready to head down to the quiet end?
Let's go. Santa's back again, relaxing.
Yes.
And look who's there. Both his helpers.
The blonde and the brunette.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who would have thought?
I wouldn't have thought. They seem to be getting along.
Don't they?
Yeah.
That sly old dog.
Look out, old Santa is back. Let's go down there. Maybe we can overhear something juicy.
Okay.
All right.
So, as we said at the beginning, these are called the Carnation Murders. They're a mass murder that occurred on Christmas Eve 2007 near the little town of Carnation, Washington, which is about 25 miles east of Seattle.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Kind of rural. Murders took place in the home of Wayne Scott Anderson and his wife, Judy Anderson.
So these were people who were in their 60s, right? Well, Wayne was 60 and Judy was 61. And Wayne was a Boeing engineer and Judy was a postal worker. And they had a daughter, Michelle, right? And a son, Scott.
Right. Scott was the older.
Yes. So what happened here was it was with Michelle meeting this guy, Joe McEnroe, online.
Yeah.
And he's a messed up dude.
Holy cow.
And I think the two of these guys just came together, totally bad mix. It might not have happened if it was them individually.
Right.
Right.
Like the perfect storm.
Kind of, yeah.
And Joe had quite a checkered past. Not so much with violence or anything, but he trolled the internet, meeting people, women. And where they started out, he moved from Arizona or New Mexico to North Carolina to meet a woman who stood him up. Then he took a job at a Walmart.
Or a Target. Or a maybe. Target. One of those, yeah.
One of those big box stores. Started corresponding with a woman in Baton Rouge. Actually moved to Baton Rouge. Lived with her for 2 or 3 days and then was asked to leave.
Well, and it's kind of sad if he wasn't such a scumbag. You know, it's kind of a sad life he had. It seems like his mom kind of went from man to man.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe she was just looking for the right guy, and that can be hard. But it was hard on him to have these men coming and going in his life.
Oh, definitely.
And he was the oldest of a few children. I don't know how many children, how many siblings he had.
Yeah.
But it seems like he felt like he was having to take care of the kids and do a lot of the work around the house.
Yes.
Yeah. So he seemed to have some kind of pent-up anger, some passive aggressiveness.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And he ended up back in Fayetteville, right?
Yes.
And then started corresponding with Michelle, who
right.
lived out in Washington
State. She
was
in Washington, yeah. And they're both 29, I think, around
yeah.
there.
So he's crisscrossing the United States. He'd also had a brief time in Burlington, Vermont, where he got stood up again.
He was looking for love.
Yeah. I'm just not finding it.
No. But he would kind of correspond for a little while and think that he was in love and go move right in. And
yeah.
Who he had an issue with relationships.
Did he say he hadn't even met Michelle and he was in love with her?
Yes, he did say that. Well, he also said that when he met her, they'd been talking for about 6 months on the computer and on the phone, no Skype, so he hadn't seen her.
Right.
I guess she'd sent him some pictures of herself.
Yeah, which weren't exactly pictures of herself.
Well, there were some from high school where she looked pretty cute and fit.
Yeah.
But that was over 10 years earlier. And
yeah.
then there were some close-ups of her face.
She didn't match the pictures.
No. According to him, some of the recent pictures she got were just close-ups of her face, maybe a little cleavage, where she was made up and looked quite attractive.
Yeah.
And then he saw these pictures of her from high school where she looked pretty fit. And she told him she was a runner or something. So he was expecting kind of this fit, attractive woman. And he said when he got there, she was kind of obese.
Right.
Yeah, and he said he was disappointed. But then he had this whole kind of, I don't know what you would call it, about wanting to like, he said, well, I was in love with her, not her size or her body. So I decided to let it go. Just kind of weird.
It is. A woman he just met.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said, well, she looked like she just rolled out of bed and she was overweight. And so it didn't seem like he was attracted to her at all. When he met her.
Not at first, anyway. I don't know how much he ever was.
Yeah, seems like he just wanted to be with somebody, no matter what. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they met, and they moved right in together, and I guess they lived on a trailer on her parents' property for some time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the parents started wanting them to pay some bills, pay some rent or something for living there.
Yeah, I mean, you're living in this place on their property. Let's help out a little bit.
Yeah, and she may have been kind of, well, between the two of them, I don't know. It seems like she was kind of verbally abusive, but he was kind of weird about it, too. There was a lot of threats of self-mutilation and threats of suicide on his part.
On his part.
Yeah. And she started talking to him about this obsession she had with killing her parents.
Which, at first, he didn't think was real.
Right.
But
according to him.
According to him.
Yeah.
Got it.
So according to him, he'd pretty much do whatever she wanted him to do.
Yeah.
She had told him she needed him to protect her.
He went out and bought the guns.
Yes, he did. So on the day of the crime, according to the testimony, McEnroe and Anderson, they armed themselves and drove their pickup to the home of her parents, Wayne Anderson, who was 60, and Judy, 61, on Christmas Eve of 2007. And once inside, Joe distracted Judy Anderson, who was wrapping Christmas gifts, while Michelle shot her father. But I guess when she was going to shoot her father, her gun jammed. So Joe went over and killed Wayne and Judy. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne first.
Yes. And then the two of them actually hid the bodies and cleaned up the home.
Yeah, this is where it gets more than creepy.
Yeah, very macabre.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. So they take the parents out and hide them after mopping up the blood with some rugs, some towels, and
yeah,
stuff.
They clean up the house, hide the parents in a shed or something.
Right.
And wait for her brother and his family to arrive, because they're all going to be celebrating Christmas.
Well, you think at this point common sense would kick in and they'd say, what have we done? We need to stop this now.
No.
But no.
They've set the thing in motion.
Yeah. So once the family of her brother arrived, which was her brother, his wife, and their two little kids, I mean, this is the really part that kills me.
Yeah, 3 years old and 5 years old.
Yeah, a little boy and a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad. Olivia and Nathan. So once the family arrived, Michelle Anderson shot her brother. And I guess what happened is that her brother went after her when she was going to shoot him. And there was some kind of a struggle.
Yeah, right? he charged her.
Yeah.
Didn't help.
Right. So Macro and Anderson, they shot Erica, who was the sister-in-law, and Joe shot the children. And he said this was at the request of Michelle.
She couldn't do it.
Right. And at some point they said the reason they killed the children is because they'd be scarred for life after seeing their parents killed, as if they were doing them a favor.
Right. And they didn't want them being witnesses.
Well, that was another thing, is that what they probably really did was kill them so that they wouldn't be turned in, so they wouldn't have witnesses, right?
Yeah.
But there was also talk where they thought, well, not where they thought, but where Joe actually testified that the reason they killed the children was because they could see that they would end up being kind of dark and might do bad things later in their life.
Yeah.
Weird.
Great explanation.
But they did have some of these weird beliefs about, like, spiritual advisors and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
But I think it's whatever fits at the time.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah. So Michelle's brother was killed, and then his wife and the little kids were huddled in the corner. And the wife was begging him not to kill them.
But he did.
He did.
He shot her first.
Yes.
And then the kids.
Yep. Right in the head.
In the head.
Short, yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible. So it wasn't until 2 days later that the bodies were discovered, when a co-worker of Judy Anderson went to the home to see why she was absent from work. So 2 days. Think about that. That's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So while King County detectives were at this property, Joe and Michelle Anderson drove up, and they were questioned, and then they were arrested. Now, prosecutors told jurors the motive for the killings was money, and Michelle Anderson's belief that she'd been slighted and mistreated by her parents and her brother. So she was a troubled person.
Obviously.
So arrested and indicted as the perpetrators of the killings were Michelle and Joe, and they were both 29, and they were each charged with 6 counts of first-degree murder. Unbelievable.
With the death penalty a possibility.
Yes. So Michelle was the younger sister of Scott and the daughter of Wayne and Judy, and investigators have not pinpointed the motive exactly. But there seemed to be a dispute over money that was going on. But it seems like it was more than that, because even before that, she had this obsession with killing her parents.
Yeah, I think that's trying to put more of a sane face on things, that there was a monetary dispute. You listen to some tapes of conversations. These two people are really insane.
Well, you say that about everyone that we talk about here.
I know. Well, you know.
I mean, you're using that term loosely.
Maybe I am.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they're not right, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were judged competent to stand trial.
Yeah. So when you say insane, you mean mentally ill, deranged.
Definitely.
Sociopathic, things like that.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Because who's going to kill 6 people? 2 of them are little kids. I mean, this just...
Crazy.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, when Joe talked about the discussions that he and Michelle had had about this crime, he had said that he didn't want to kill the kids, and she had said that what were they going to do with them, I guess. There was just a discussion about what they would do with the kids.
Yeah.
So all these geniuses would come up with is, oh, we'll just kill them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've killed the other 4. We might as well kill the kids too.
So Michelle was found competent to stand trial. I guess she'd gone to Western State Hospital. This is one of those crimes that's just stupid and pointless.
Absolutely.
And a huge waste of life.
I mean, even road rage sounds like a reason compared to this crime.
Yeah.
A valid reason. I mean, it's just eh.
Well, I kind of feel like she was the murderous one who kind of encouraged him.
Yeah.
I'm not excusing him in any way by saying this.
No, because he did it.
He did it,
and
absolutely.
He admits to doing it.
And he's guilty, yes.
Right. But he certainly was the more passive of the two. and sounds like he would do whatever Michelle asked him to do.
It seems that way, yeah. Yep. In the past, he'd had a girlfriend who was diagnosed with MS, and he'd wanted to take care of her. So he had some kind of issue where he wanted to take care of someone.
Yeah.
And maybe this was some twisted way he felt he was taking care of her. But obviously, something's missing as far as empathy and compassion and love for other human beings if you're going to do something. How can you shoot a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old?
You can't.
He said the 3-year-old looked up at him.
Yeah.
He said he looked up with him with a look like he had understood what was happening.
Yeah, right.
I hope he didn't. I hope he had no idea, because if he knew what was happening, well, I guess he really couldn't, could he?
No, not really.
He might have known he was going to get hurt. He saw his dad and mom hurt.
Yeah, but he's 3.
Yeah. Well, 3-year-old couldn't be a witness anyway.
Probably not.
Yeah.
The 5-year-old certainly could be a witness.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that with the axe murder. They had a 5-year-old, that if the 5-year-old had seen it, he probably would have spoke up.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, super sad case and pointless. It just seems one of those big pointless wastes.
I know. It's one of those really frustrating things.
Yeah, like if people could just think straight and have a heart, and it's just idiotic as well as evil.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. So what happened as far as their going to court? Were they found guilty?
They were both found guilty on all 6 counts of aggravated first-degree murder.
Wow. So did they get the death penalty?
They got the death penalty.
Really? Okay.
But they have not been executed.
Well, no, it takes a long time.
Right.
It's not like back in the days of the Ashland tragedy.
Yeah.
Where they hung them 3 days later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lengthy process. But so they both did get the death penalty.
They did.
Okay. Well, that'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm really not a supporter of the death penalty just because I feel like we get it wrong too often. And it terrifies me to think that we're going to execute an innocent person. But then you see a case like this and I feel like, well, yeah, I mean, I have no problem with that with these people.
Right.
They have no
purpose. It's also, like you said, I mean, one wrong death penalty is all it takes.
That's true.
They ought to just be stuck in jail for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
But,
and with the way that it goes now, they're usually in jail for years and years anyway.
Right.
A lot of them are on death row and die on death row. But anyway, they were found guilty, so that's good.
Both found guilty.
That doesn't do anything for
regardless, their they're never getting out of jail.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Well, what a shame. I mean, it makes me wonder if something in their childhoods could have been different, if it would have made a difference, or if they were just born to be this way, right? It's the nature versus nurture.
Nature versus nurture.
You wonder.
And it usually turns out to be a combination of the two, right?
I was just going to say that, yeah. Something, like you said, it was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to this episode of the 12 Beers of Christmas on True Crime Brewery. If you like what you hear, we would love a 5-star review on iTunes. And we're also available on Stitcher, Google Play, and now we're on iHeartRadio. You can actually go to our website also and listen to them. And since you're probably doing some holiday shopping, maybe some last-minute shopping at this point, if you go to our website and click on Shop Amazon and support TieGrabber, it'll take you right to Amazon, just like you normally would, but a little tiny fraction of what you spend will come back to support our podcast. You could also do that by going to TieGrabber.com/Amazon. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Number 9.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Baby, don't hold